Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you, everyone listening. Welcome to Share Your Jummah right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. And we're going to be sharing with you as Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz is continuing with the 1:30 presentation or khutbah, and then we at 2:30. We will merge in with Imam Omar Shakir from San Antonio, Texas. And then following that, his khutbah, then we will go right into the lecture of or commentary of Imam Warthi Muhammad. All right? Thank you and welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa Jummah Mubarak.
You were not with them, and this is Quran. You were not with them when we cast lots with arrows as to which of them should be charged with the care of Maryam. Abomination of Aaron. You should have charge and control of the community called Madian, who was here. So, how would a Aaron do that? How would an Aaron know that? So, Marcy says to the people in his quote, he says, in the night, Yuridu Shaitan and Yawkia Abaynahumul Ahda Wadil Wal Abadadaisi Hamari Wa Laysari Wa Yasudahum Ayn ذكر الله وعلم صلاتي صلاتي والحلم أنتم منتهون تقول الله ذلك faith is but to excite enmity and hatred between you. You are intoxicant and gambling and hinder you from the remembrance of Allah. And from prayer, will you not be in that state? So, the great plan of Satan is to produce division to people between yourselves as an individual and yourself as a group. This is the primary reason for Jumat, which is to bring the sect together on one page as well as the larger group. And the plan of Satan is to divide you so that he will subtract from your desire to please God. Oh, yeah. You won't have any position to be standing on right because in your life will be intoxicant and in your life will be gambling with your impurities that will inhibit you from your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will protect God in lieu of your own best interest. Not abstaining in prayer. You, with your acceptable reasons, will allow for impurity to people to be asserted into the lie by excuses that will not trouble your soul.
Yes. ربنا سلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لان كلنا من الخاسرين. Otherwise, we've wronged our own souls, and if we're not forgiven and shown mercy, surely we will be among those who are with us. أشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد and that is with Allah's name the merciful benefactor the merciful redeemer the merciful redeemer there is no God but Allah and we witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah on whom be the prayers and the peace. So, inshallah, we're going to try to get this finished up so that we can get to the Sabbatic step. Okay, so here, Allah, he says in his Quran, he says, وَأَتِيُّهُ اللَّهَ وَالْأَحْتِئُ الرَّسُولَ الْوَأَخْدَارُ فَإِنَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَأَحْلَمُوا إِنَّمَا آلَ الرَّسُولِنَا بَلَاغُ مُبِينَ Kalagwa will be. Shout out to Kalagwa will be. And the translation is, obey Allah and obey the messenger. And beware of evil if you do turn back. Know you that it is our messenger's duty to proclaim the message in the clearest manner. That Allah has spoken the truth. This is a wonderful directive to people. We have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to obey him by way of obeying the messenger. There is no better way to arrive at our destination than this life. There is nothing there is no better way, that is, to arrive at the destination in this life, really. There is no better way. There is nothing better than following God's way. And whenever we veer away from obeying the messenger, that is a losing formula or the worst proposition. The highest achievement, you people, is to hold the set together and arrive at the finish line as one whole unit, a completed human life, a complete human life, not allowing yourself to be picked apart. And if we come back, then we should know that we take nothing away from the messenger. He has been very clear in the message he has delivered on behalf of God Almighty. This is to say to people, when you have invited the message from the messenger, then you have become one with that message. Therefore, your modus operandi is to be clear in your expression of what that message says, because if you don't, then you are guilty of giving the wrong meaning or expression to God's word. Misappropriation of the life is a serious offense, and we are subjected to judgment with these types of misconduct and misalignment. So Allah, he says, الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح فيما تعيموا إذا ما اتقوا وآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ثم اتقوا وآمنوا ثم اتقوا وأحسنوا وعلاه يهيب المؤمنين. صدق الله به. Allah has spoken the truth. Translation is, all those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, there is no blame for what you ate, A-T-E, what you ate in the past. When regard themselves from evil and believe and do deeds of righteousness, or again, guard themselves from evil and do good. For Allah loves those who do good. So my beloved brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and has been merciful to those who have believed. The language of this Quran is extraordinarily divine, I might say, in how it addresses the human being. For example, it says of the one who has sought out the life that best expresses the natural will of the human being to find God, even when it has not always been that way, but God will forgive you for what you ate, A-T-E, or consumed before. Now, this idea of what was eaten before goes all the way back to our father Adam in the garden. Our father Adam was found guilty of ingesting an apple. Translation. An apple that was offered to him while in the garden.
in the garden state, right? Or the state of the garden. Well, today, that apple is the equivalent of an application. By that I mean he, Adam, applied himself in the wrong way or to the wrong thing. That's the apple. He applied the wrong application of his himself to the wrong behavior, the wrong idea. That was the apple he ate. But, however, when we locate the corrected behavior and employ it, God will forgive us for the apple we ate before. That wayward behavior that was not becoming of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he understands it was a situation where that behavior made the apple of our eye. Yes. Couldn't resist it. But I will have you to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of mercy, loves those who give themselves to righteousness and guard themselves against evil. So again, Allah, he says to us in his Quran, he says, "Qul, sirru fil ardi, thumma anzuru, kayfa kana aqibatul." And the translation is, say, travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who rejected truth. Surely Allah has spoken the truth. So here in verse 11 of chapter 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues a command and a challenge at the same time. He wants you to travel in the earth. But as the translator says, travel through the earth. Travel through the earth. It does not say that. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commanded Muhammad alayhi salam to command you to travel in the earth with emphasis on in. This is not the physical planet Earth as much as it is your own journey within the confines of yourself to examine the episodes where you gave appetite, desire, and passion control over the life, where these lead you to. There's a problem. Our challenge to people is to implore them to assist us in arriving at the station of excellence in human life, but not to follow them except that we are their leaders. When you travel back to revisit the episode in your life, you will find those elements were under were used to reject God. You were on the same influence used to get you to reject God. Yes. They comprise your earth. In the sense, you have to be careful what is implanted in them. They will become the playground of the liar. If they are misguided, they will give birth like the earth, but to a misguided traveler. Much like Mother Nature, if she is upset, she can give birth to or deliver to very destructive weather. Huh? Yes. So Allah, he says, "Qul lillah, ma fi samawati wal ard, qul lillah." كتب على نفسه الرحمة الرحمة لا يجمعانكم إلا يوم قيامة قيامة الله عبادته الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون. صدق الله هو دين. Allah has spoken the truth. And his translation, say, to whom belong all that is in the heavens and the earth, say, to Allah, he has inscribed for himself the rule that he will gather you together for the day of judgment. There is no doubt whatsoever. It is they who have lost their own souls that will not believe. And they ask the question, too. They ask the question as to whom it is that all of what is in the heavens and the earth belong to. Who does it belong to? This includes your heaven and your earth and the complete material universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all of it. He owns all of it. He alone is the creator. He is not contained by any of it. It all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to better understand this statement that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inscribed mercy for himself, or the rule of mercy. The language of the translator can be confusing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need mercy. He is the one who gives mercy. He inscribed it upon himself as the same. He established that mercy for his creatures. None of us can make it without the benefit of God's mercy. He gives it to whom he pleases, and he withholds it from whom he pleases. Everyone will be judged based upon the nature we have accepted the judgment of our God. As human beings, we cannot expect benefit from the judgment that will enhance the human life when we have given ourselves to animal life. So, people, people are hard to recognize as a human being these days. Many of them are very, very hard to recognize as human beings. You look at them and you be straining, trying to see, where is the human being? And I don't believe, you know, some of them believe that they're human. There's a growing population who has abandoned human life. And I don't believe they wish to return. I really don't. Human life is so boring and monotonous for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَلَهُ مَا سَحَانِ الْعَلَيْلِ وَالْبَحَرِ وَالْخُوَى الْسَانِ وَالْعَلِيمِ. To him belong all that dwelleth and lurketh in the night and the day, for he is the one who hears and knoweth all things. To set the record straight, it does not matter whether it is the night or the day, which is another way of saying whether it belongs to ignorance or from conscious access. Either way belongs to Allah. It cannot escape Allah who I love. It cannot escape his judgment. Everything has to be due to Allah or judgment. And all of it will be dealt with justly. There is nothing that can be heard that he has not heard already. And there is nothing that can be known that he does not already know. My dear friends, you should be the first of those who surrender. And to want nothing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is your protector. And the desire to bow to nothing but Allah alone. That is the best place you can exist in your life. The first to surrender or bow is the imam. Right? You know, we can invalidate our prayer, our life, if we preempt the movement of the Imam. The Imam is in you and the other members of your shop. In you should follow your Imam. We are following the Imam, the people. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is an expression of the Quran. Some of us say the Imam is our leader. Muhammad the Prophet is our leader. Yes. They said the Quran is our leader. Yes. Because Muhammad al-Islam is the expression of the Quran. And then now who? He is the Quran sent down.
Yes. We'll have to talk about that some more.
So we are following the Imam, which is the best spirit to occupy our souls. There is no better platform to stand upon as a human life than to be the first to surrender to Allah. To have that state of being is bliss. Who cannot prefer? Who cannot prefer other than Allah, to whom belong the heavens and the earth? I am the first of those who surrender to him. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Lord, let our hearts be deviated after you have guided us aright. And grant to us from your presence mercy. Surely you are the most liberal of all the granters. إقامة الصلاة.
And now, dear listeners, we go to Imam Omar Shakir. All right, dear listeners, it will be 1:35. Imam just alerted me, so we'll continue with the Celeste for those on the East Coast.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر صلى الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أيها الكافرون فأعبدوا ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا أبد ما أبدتم ولا أنتم أبدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر سامي الله لمحمده الله أكبر
الله أكبر
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
دعاء. يا الله سبحانه وتعالى. We with this your oneness in the fatherhood of Muhammad Allah. We seek your mercy. We seek your protection. We seek your guidance. We seek forgiveness for our sins. We seek your help. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you for the good and the excellence that you have bestowed upon us. It is you alone that we surrender ourselves to in obedience. It is you alone that we trust with our lives. So continue to give to us loved ones, family members, and offspring who will consciously and willingly come to this place of surrender, dying far into the future. And O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, please stand firm that our feet on this path of Siratul Mustaqim, and let us not die unless we are Muslim. For surely Allah, let us be the first of those who surrender to you. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Hi, dear listeners. As you heard, and praise be to Allah for the East Coast khutbah presented by Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz. And now we are readying for the Central, inshallah, with Imam Omar Shakir, right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Praise be to Allah for the guidance and protection afforded all of us through prayer and the examples with that, with the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. In just a moment, Imam Omar Shakir will be connecting with us, about 3 minutes. So we're going to share some hadith. And after Imam Shakir, then we will hear, like I say, commentary from Imam Warsi Muhammad, rahimahullah, on world Islam and world politics. That was presented in December 1993, Islam and World Politics. It's just shy of an hour long. All right.
Hadith number 1. عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى.
Sister Martha, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. We good?
We are good, and thank you so very much to you and the community there in San Antonio, Texas.
Alhamdulillah. We'll go ahead and begin, sister.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran.
Dear beloved Muslims, Assalamu alaikum wa jumu mubarakah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah ki rabbil alameen. That is, the thanks and the praise is for Allah. And thereafter, all unqualified praise is for Allah, the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the worlds. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, always with Allah's name is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we give him the complete and perfect praise. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. Nesta'inu, who we seek his aid. Nestaqfiru, we beg for his mercy and his forgiveness. Wa nukmunu bihi azza wa jal. We put our complete faith and trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu mulk wa lahu hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa amma ba'd. Witnessing that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone, he is without partners or associates, nothing like unto him. To him be the dominion or the rule. To him be all unqualified praise, and he has power over all. Also witnessing that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, he is Allah's slave servant and his messenger, and we pray the prayers and peace be on him, his family, his descendants, the companions, the righteous all. And at this time, I want to say, Ayyuhal Muslimun, and on you also be the peace. We say, Ameen wa Amma Ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Reading from the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, 9 in the Quran, the 36th ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the number of months in the sight of Allah is 12 in a year, so ordained by him. The day he created the skies and the earth, of them four are sacred. That is the straight usage. So wrong not yourselves therein and fight the pagans all together as they fight you all together. But know that Allah is with those who restrain themselves. Sadaq Allahu Azeem. And Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Dear beloved Muslims, our topic for today is the sacred month of Muharram and the day of Ashura. Let me begin by wishing all the Muslims worldwide a very blessed, a very healthy, and a very happy new year. Maybe our non-Muslim friends and audience, they may be confused today because this is July, not January. But the Muslims go by the lunar calendar. And on Wednesday, inshallah, we entered into the first month of the Muslim calendar called Muharram. So we want to extend that greeting. Dear family, as Allah says in the Quran, that just like the Gregorian calendar, the Muslims also have 12 months. And Allah says that four of those months are sacred. Did you hear my title today? The sacred month of Muharram and the day of Ashura. So now you should already be tracking me. You already know that this is one of the sacred months. What are the other three? The month of Qadda, the 11th month, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which we just experienced Hajj, the 12th month, and the month of Rajab, the 7th month, along with the first month, Muharram. These are the four that are sacred. So what makes them sacred, dear family? One of the things that makes them sacred, and please hear this, I hope your faith is such that you believe this, because we are empowered by what we believe, or we are neutralized by what we believe. There's a saying in the world, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you are correct. So faith, belief, there's a power in that. Allah is telling us through Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is telling us The reason these months are sacred is because all of your righteous deeds are multiplied. Everything that you normally do of righteousness with the right intention is multiplied, and only Allah knows to what extent it is multiplied. Praise be to Allah. So we focus on that. A brief history of the Day of Ashura. The Day of Ashura, some Muslims may not know this, was originally practiced by our Jewish brothers. I say Jewish, but I really like Bini Israel. I like the Quran phrase, Bini Israel, the children of Israel, who we call Jews. The holiday or the observance came about because we know the history. We know that Moses, upon him be peace, was pursued by Pharaoh and the host. And both Bible and Quran talks about there was a time when Moses and his community was up against the ocean or the sea or whatever you want to call it. Their back was against the wall. You have Pharaoh and his host behind you. You know their intention is to extinguish you. You know their intention is to kill you. So here I am running away from, or Moses and his community running away from the Pharaoh. They come up on the sea, and Moses is inspired. I believe he took his rod and struck the sea, and the sea opened up. And Moses and his community was allowed to walk on dry land and get to the other side. And then when Pharaoh and his host pursued them into the dry land, the walls of the sea collapsed and drowned Pharaoh and his host. And some reports say that at that point, when Pharaoh was drowning, it was at that point he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But it's too late, Pharaoh. So Allah says, another place in the Quran, you can't do dirt. This is an Omar Shakir translation. You can't do dirt all of your life and then on your deathbed say you believe. On your deathbed say you repent. Quran says that it's too late. And Allah says he will make Pharaoh a sign. He preserved his body to make a sign of the power of Allah. And praise be to Allah, when I was blessed to visit Egypt, I visited the Pharaoh's tombs and the other people and see how they were preserved by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But brothers and sisters, don't miss my point. Moses and his community, alayhi salam, in gratitude, in gratefulness, established fasting on the day of Ashura. This predates al-Islam, fasting on the day of Ashura as a way of expressing, glorifying Allah and expressing gratitude. Now, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I make my statement, let me just prefix it by saying this. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he received the Quran. We know he received divine revelation. And we know that he was obedient, strictly obedient to the divine revelation. But there were also times in his prophethood. Don't forget, his prophethood evolved over 23 years. So there were times in his prophethood, because the Quran too was revealed over 23 years, that he didn't have concrete or conclusive guidance from the Quran. So how would he proceed? He knew that he was a continuation of the previous scriptures. He knew that all of the other prophets and messengers was his brothers in faith. So he would look to the Jewish community. Why did he look to the Jewish community? Not that he was well-versed in religion, not that he was well-versed in Judaism. The Quran says the opposite of that. The Quran says he was unlettered. He was not well-versed in scripture. But the Jews, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Jews were in charge. Yes, you had the Ansar, but the Jews were in leadership. So he was somewhat familiar with some of the practices of the Jewish faith. He understood that the Jews were a legitimate faith. He understood that the Jews had a legitimate scripture. So I said all that to say what? Times that he would practice some of the things that our Jewish brothers did.
until Allah either confirmed that was the proper practice or he negated that as a practice. Let me give you an example. Since I'm going to go ahead and give you an example. Before I do that, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take shura with his community in the absence of clear divine guidance, and he would go with the majority, believing that the will of Allah is in the majority. I'm just giving you a little quick history. But let's get back to that point of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometime following the ways of our Jewish brothers until clear guidance confirmed or negated what they were doing. One of the best examples, and I know this is controversial, but I'm going to put it out there. One of the best examples that I can think of is that the Muslims have in their tradition today to stone those that commit fornication and adultery. They believe they get their evidence from certain hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have stoned individuals. Stoning people for fornication and adultery is a Jewish tradition. It is my belief as a student of knowledge that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stoned people in his lifetime, it was prior to the revelation in Surah Nur, the light, 24 in the Quran, because Allah says in chapter 24 that the punishment for zina, there is no two words for fornication. In other words, zina is the one word for both fornication and adultery. Allah says in the Quran, as for the one that is guilty of zina, lash them with 100 lashes and let the believers witness it as a deterrent of that practice. Then there's another place where Allah says, but if they return back to what is proper and wholesome, I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing, then leave them alone. Brothers and sisters, if you stone me when I fornicate, if you stone me when I commit adultery, don't misquote me. I'm not doing these things. I'm using me as an example, but I'm not doing these. The point I'm making is, where is my opportunity to repent when you've stoned me? That's why it makes so much sense that I follow what the Quran said. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when our Jewish brothers would come to him to rule on certain things, the Prophet in his wisdom upon him be peace said, why are you asking me how to rule on that? Doesn't your scripture address that? And they said, yes, it does. He said, follow your scripture. And they're under Muslim rule, your scripture. You think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell them to follow their scripture and he not follow his own? I'm going to leave that alone. I've made my argument. Alhamdulillah. So now what do you need to know? I already said that our Jewish brothers would fast on the day of Muharram. I'm sorry, the 10th day of Muharram, which is the day of Ashura. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Muslims to fast. You heard what I just said. After the Jewish tradition, believing that they have received divine guidance, believes that they are people of scripture, that they are righteous. Do you know that the day of Ashura fasting was first made obligatory to the Muslims? It was a fard. It was an obligation. The Prophet ordered us to fast on the day of Ashura until Allah revealed the verses with Ramadan. There are some Muslims today that will still try to make you feel guilty if you don't fast Ashura, make you feel guilty if you don't fast the day of Arafat. These are not fard. These are optional. These are practices of the Prophet, good practices, and practices that I would encourage you to adhere to, practices that I strive to adhere to. But don't let people elevate things that are optional to the level of obligation. Some Muslims will tell you this is haram and that's halal. You're not authorized. You're not even qualified to determine what is halal and haram. The halal and the haram, the lawful and the prohibited, come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah and his messenger established the halal and the haram. I need to say this because some of the newer Muslims, they get shamed into things. They get guilted into things. And that is our stuff being dumped on them. It is our version of righteousness being dumped on them. God didn't give the deen to you. He didn't give the deen to me. He gave it to Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once the Prophet understood that the day of Ashura is the Jewish practice, the day of Ashura is optional, and it is Ramadan that is farz. Yes, the Prophet fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. Yes, the Prophet would fast 3 days out of a month. Some reports say on the 15th. We have all these reports. All of it is good, but it's optional. For our single brothers and sisters, fasting helps with your sex urge. So if you're single, get that fasting in to keep those passions cool so you don't burn up. Praise be to Allah. So clear now. Yes, fast on the day of Ashura, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but it is optional. It's not obligatory, but it's beneficial and highly recommended. What else does the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, represent? There is, in both Bible and Quran, the story of Noah, upon him be peace, how he built the ark, how the world was flooded. Now, brothers and sisters, today I'm not getting into philosophy and I'm not doing allegory and all that. All of these things that I'm talking about, the Red Sea opening up and Moses walking on dry land, Noah's flood, it has the physical application, but it has a spiritual connection. It has a higher meaning. That's not what this is today. So take it at face value. Take it as I'm giving it. That Noah built the ark. Reports say it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Quran says Allah caused the earth to swallow up the water, and the ark rested on a mountain. We believe that's the Mount Judah. We believe that that is also associated with the 10th of Muharram. So, fasting on the day of Ashura does not interfere with the adab of fasting. What do I mean by that? Do you know that in our religion, let me say this right, forgive me, I want to express this properly. Let me just say it like this, I'll clean it up. Can practice, that's all right. Let me just do it like this, alhamdulillah. I don't want to confuse anyone. I'll say, brothers and sisters, if you all, obligatory days of fasting in the month of Ramadan to make up, even though all the other Muslims may be fasting a nafil or a sunnah or a supererogatory, when you fast on next Friday, inshallah, for the day of Ashura, you can make up a day of Ramadan while you're fasting on a sunnah day. That's what I mean by they don't interfere. It's about your intention. Matters are judged by intention. Just like I can be following Imam Sharif in Salat, and he's making Asr prayer. That's his intention. And I haven't made Dhuhr prayer yet. My intention can be Dhuhr while his is Asr. Allah don't get confused. He registers his door and my offer at the same time. Do you hear what I'm saying, dear family? And another beautiful example, during the month of Ramadan, when you're doing the Tarawih prayer, if you get to the Tarawih late and the imam has already started the Tarawih and you haven't done your Isha yet, make your intention for Isha behind the imam who's making God weep. I know I'm getting too much into fic now, ain't I? This is Juma. Let me keep it light. So, brothers and sisters, we have to know these things. We have to understand. See, this religion is easy. It's simple. We make it complicated. And that phrase, matters are judged by intention, goes so far, dear family. It goes so far. And I refuse to make this religion a burden on me when Allah has made it simple. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, some Muslims might fast on the 9th of Muharram as the day of Ashura. There's discussion about this. There's always discussion. It's hard for us to agree on much, isn't it? We don't know when Ramadan's coming. We don't know when the Eid's coming. So we have discussion. But the strongest evidence, and this is what I want to encourage you to practice. This is what your imam is practicing. The day of Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. So if you're going to fast, fast on the 10th of Muharram for the day of Ashura. Now, dear family, in concluding this khutbah, we're not going to hold you long today. What else is associated with the day of Ashura? In the Shia fiqh, you say Shiite, the Shia fiqh, they believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandson Hussein was martyred on the 10th of Muharram, so that's a type of celebration for them. I'm not Shiite. That's a type of celebration for them. But I'm giving full disclosure so you understand what this means to Muslims. Our Shiite brothers are Muslims. I know some people have issues with that too. So they believe Hussein radiallahu anh was killed on the 10th of Muharram. Now, in concluding, dear family, what are the 9 takeaways that you and I should get regarding the fasting in Muharram? Number 1, this whole month is sacred. All of your good deeds, whether you're giving in charity, whether you're making prayers, whatever you're doing is multiplied. Number 2, Moses and his community was delivered on the day 10th of Muharram. Number 3, Noah's Ark rests on Judah in the day of Muharram, on the 10th of Muharram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted on the day of Muharram and encouraged us to do the same. I already told you it was farther prior to Ramadan, but now it is nafil or sunnah or supererogatory or optional. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught that the best day after Ramadan to fast is the day of Ashura. One of the reasons why, dear family, we have an obligation to have our previous year's sins forgiven. Previous year's sin forgiven. Most of us just fasted on the 9th of Dhu-Hijjah, the day of Arafat. That day is blessed in the sense that you have your previous year and the coming year sins forgiven. Now I'm going to say something else controversial. The scholars say that the sins that are forgiven are the minor sins. Personally, I choose not to limit Allah like that. Try to dictate to Allah like that. I am his servant, and I am counting on, I am praying for, I am pleading for his leniency, for his mercy, for his forgiveness. Because I know that I make errors. I know I'm not perfect. So I choose to believe in the generosity of Allah that he's already proven. I tend to believe that Allah gives us more than what we ask for, as he has proven. I accept when the prophet said your good deeds are multiplied from 10 to 700 times. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I pray Allah when I fast, Brother Doug, did I get some major sins taken care of too? That's what I pray. And that's because that's Allah's business, is his realm. I'm going to leave that to him, trusting that he is so generous and so gracious. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for the best that this life has to offer. We pray for the best that the next life has to offer. Please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Dear family, the sacred month of Muharram and the day of Ashura. We are grateful, dear family, and we thank Allah for this opportunity. And in concluding this khutbah, dear family, I want to encourage us to always cling to and review the basics in this religion. I really want to encourage that. No matter how high we go, you cannot escape the basics. And it has been my experience that when we go back to the basics, we discover some things that we missed the first time. So don't think yourself too heavy. Don't think I've been Muslim 100 years. Alhamdulillah. I guarantee you there's still something that you can learn. So brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to bless this community. We ask Allah to accept those that are fasting. The day of Ashura is tentatively going to be, well, I think we can say it'll be next Friday, inshallah. It'll be next Friday. Why am I giving it to you today? Inshallah, we do the football next Friday. But I'm giving it to you today because Allah has blessed me to understand that when you know what you're doing and why you're doing it and the wisdom behind it and the history behind it, it enhances your practice that much more. So I want this to marinate for a week. So when you step into your fast, you might remember something that we said today. All praise is due to Allah, dear family. This is one of the beauties of the leadership of Imam Waridullin Muhammad, radiallahu an, that Allah blessed him to give us the practical side. He's not the first one that had intellectual curiosity. He's not the first one that was sober-minded and rational. Abraham, upon him be peace, is an excellent example of rational faith, asking questions, deep questions, and also debating with profound arguments. Yo, Nimrod, you need to worship Allah. He gives life and causes death. Nimrod said, no big deal. I too give life and cause death. Abraham said, my God allows and causes the sun to rise from the east, and you make it rise from the west. Isn't that a beautiful argument? And then when he broke up the gods and was standing there and they was getting ready to accuse him of breaking up the gods, who did this to our gods? Abraham said, ask them. And immediately they said, you trying to play us, Abraham. You know these gods can't talk. Allahu Akbar. Y'all forgive me. I love this religion. I love the logic. I love the simplicity. And I thank Allah that he has chosen us and me for this way of life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We're done, dear family. We want to acknowledge our dear sister Martha Nyla Abdullah, the executive director of the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC. And she is hosting us today. We're simulcasting on AM 360 radio along with the Facebook page. We acknowledge our dear sister, who's a great leader, a hard worker, a great servant for us, and I'm honored to serve with her. I acknowledge our dear sister, Latifa Hameen, who is the CEO of the AM 360 radio. Brothers and sisters, we need to know about these institutions. Study El Islam, Muslim Journal, We didn't know about these things. New Medina, Mississippi, in our association. These are institutions that we are a part of. So I'm done. I'm going to stop. But I just wanted to offer that acknowledgement. Dear family, it has come to my attention that our dear sister Alma is not doing very well. I had an opportunity to speak with her. Speak with her husband at length. And she still has a very bad infection. She still has an open wound from her back surgery that has become septic, and they're feeding her antibiotics now for about a month. And this is affecting her morale, her attitude, her mentality. Please pray for our dear sister. We'll stay in touch. Please pray for her. Beautiful sister, great servant of Allah. We ask Allah to bring her relief and heal her. Ameen, Ya Rabbi. Please pray for Brother Asmar Town's mother, who is in her mid-90s now, I believe. She deals with dementia, maybe Alzheimer, that might be strong, but these things wreak havoc on us, and they affect our well-being. You can only imagine what kind of state it's in when your child walks in and you don't recognize them. You wake up and you say, whose house am I in? That's a hell of a state to be in. Brother, our heart goes out to you, Brother Asma. I know you're visiting her often. You're giving her all the support you can give. Our heart goes out. Keep Sister Towns, Mother Towns, I'm going to say, in your dua. Praise be to Allah. We continue to pray for Imam Abdul Rahim Muhammad and Sister Rachel. We pray for Sister Althea Downs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, understanding, realizing what she's going through. We ask you to continue your support. Sister Aisha K. Mustafa is going through something. The managing editor of the Muslim Journal and is requiring financial assistance. Somebody always asking for money. Brothers and sisters, no burden. Give what you can. The problem is when people try to take the whole thing on themselves. Do you know we brag about 2 billion Muslims? Do you know we brag about maybe 1.5 million in our association? Do you know if all of us just gave a dollar what we could get done? Not just for people in need, but also in building these institutions. I said I'm going to stop, Sister Bathsheba. I'm going to stop. Allahu Akbar. This is on my heart. I have to share this with you, dear family. We are connected. We're one community. One community in our association and one community, 2 billion Muslims worldwide. One community. And saying that, I mentioned Sister Basima. I want to acknowledge our dear sister visiting from the Dallas area with her husband, Jabril, who he tells me we've met on other occasions. Thank you for choosing Masjid Bilal in San Antonio to spend time with us. And Sister Basima, please give your mother our greeting, Sister Mariam. Sister Mariam is a faithful follower of us on our Facebook page. She watches Masjid Bilal regularly, and we appreciate that support. Last time Zarina and I were in Dallas together, we saw her at the DeSoto Masjid. Please greet her for me. Brother Rashid, good to see you again. Brother Latif, I see you, brother. Praise be to Allah. We pray things are going well. So, dear family, with that, we'll go ahead and close out. And we don't have anything going on this weekend here at the Masjid. No talims, no classes. But on the first weekend, we will resume. And by the way, we had an excellent first class with Brother Habib teaching us the Salat class. If there's any spots open, it ain't too late. Come on in and benefit from the class. Praise be to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa Ibrahim fil alamin. Innaka Hamidin Majid. Amin. Happy New Year. Hakim as-Salah.
And Happy New Year to you too, man.
La ilaha illallah. It's so. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح والرعية الناس يأخذون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر لله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. لله لمن حمله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear family, as we're making our dua and dhikrs, I was remiss in not mentioning Sister Ebony. Sister Ebony has suffered a strain, something going on with her hamstring. So please keep Sister Ebony also in your dua. Brother Rashid, please let her know that we're praying for her. Thank you. Taqabbalallah, may Allah accept our worship. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Yes. in making our dua, brothers and sisters, because we're international, don't just limit it to those who you know. The Muslim world is in trouble. There are many spots around the globe that they're having civil wars, and women are still being mutilated and different things. But these are, quote, Muslim countries. So pray for Sudan. I mentioned Sudan, but there's others we can mention because we have a connection to our dear brother, Dr. Ibrahim. Amin Ibrahim, who used to be in the valley, now in Houston, I'm sorry, and others. No electricity, no water. Yeah. We got a lot of praying to do, family. And Allah is in the praying business. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin. Talk about Allah. May Allah accept our worship. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Imam Omar Shakir, and again, the community / family there in Texas. And as repeat what you're saying, all over the globe, the Lost Phones all
because
860 is reaching in various areas, 6 continents for sure, everyone. And so in Saudi Arabia, a great number of individuals are listening. In Australia, in Africa, Morocco, all the continents except Antarctica. So praise be to Almighty God for that reach that Allah is providing.
Amen. We are always honored to be with you, my dear sister, and inshallah, we'll be with you again on next Friday.
Inshallah. Thank Allah for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, dear listeners, we're now going to go over to Islam, Imam Warsi Mohammed with Islam and World Politics. This was from December 24th, 93. All right. And just know that this is archived. Of course, you perhaps know this. And you can always go to am360.org or go to cwsc.us, click on podcast, and then the day will show the date and the day, Friday. And you can click on, it will be entitled Share Your Juma and Commentary of Imam Warsi Mohammed, W.D. Mohammed, Rahimullah Huley. So we will begin. And again, this is 52 minutes just left.
The program schedule here on C-SPAN 2. Now we take you to Los Angeles for the speech by Wallace D. Mohammed, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. He recently addressed a gathering of the Los Angeles World Affairs Council and shared his views on how Muslims contribute to world peace. Mr. Mohammed is the son of the late Elijah Mohammed, former leader of the Nation of Islam.
My name is Curtis Mack, President of the Los Angeles World Affairs Council, and we're so pleased to have you all with us today. We're also very pleased to have with us a nationwide cable television audience with our good friends at C-SPAN providing the coverage for us today. I'd like to acknowledge the Consul General of Saudi Arabia, Ambassador Hassan Nasir, who is with us today representing the Consular Corps of Los Angeles. Ambassador Nasir, thank you for being with us. And to remind you also of a couple of programs upcoming right after the new year, Catholicos Carrickan II, the Catholicos of the Great House of Cilicia, the Armenian Apostolic Church, will be with us in early January, and Peter Arnett, the CNN correspondent who spent so much of his time overseas during his lifetime, will be with us later in January, and his topic is Live from the Battlefield. At this point in time, it is my pleasure to introduce to you a member of the Board of Directors of the Los Angeles World Affairs Council who will be serving as our chairman for today, a lady who is involved in so many things in Los Angeles, an author, a a lawyer, a lady who has her own television program, just someone who's involved in so many things. It's my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Mrs. Guilford Glaser, Diane Glaser.
Thank you, Curtis. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and it's so good to see you. You are a very warm crowd, and you know all about Islam. You know that Islam is one of the world's greatest religions. It flourishes as one of the primary guiding forces in contemporary life for its adherents all around the world. Obviously, a force of great fervor and great conviction. Well beyond our shores, Islam also counts millions of Americans among its devoted followers. In fact, a milestone was set just last Friday with regard to American Islam. Representing recent changes in troop demographics, the United States Armed Forces installed its first Islamic chaplain. So, not only in the Middle East, but around the world, Islam is increasingly a potent force. The powerful political language of Islam carries challenges which often confound many policymakers in Western democracies. But we must remind ourselves that acts perpetrated by so-called extremists do not and of themselves characterize the agenda of all followers of Islam. The words of our guest this afternoon will surely speak for themselves. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad is one of the leading Islamic figures in the United States. Born in 1933, the fifth son of the founder of the Nation of Islam, the late Elijah Muhammad, our guest was raised amidst the tenets of traditional Islam. A course of rigorous study and vibrant intellectual curiosity, however, spurred the young Wallace Muhammad to question the faith before him. As a result of his open questioning of the validity of the Nation of Islam's theology, the young Wallace Muhammad was twice excommunicated. Nevertheless, and perhaps strengthened by his vigorous examination of the religious doctrine, in 1975, the day after his father, Elijah Muhammad's passing, Wallace Muhammad, at age 42, inherited the mantle of his father's leadership and became imam. Intent on spreading the message of the Islamic faith and the teaching of the Quran to bring dignity and stability to his followers, Imam Muhammad makes an outgoing contribution toward building respect for Islamic life in America and for American Africans or African Americans. His message promotes striving for individual excellency and working towards tolerance. Imam Muhammad's guidance has helped to establish mosques and schools in every major American city, as well as in Canada and in the Caribbean. In addition, he works actively to establish direct and meaningful dialogue between Muslims, Christians, and Jews. Representing Muslims in America, Imam Muhammad has traveled the world, conferred with numerous leaders on the international stage, and participated in a host of Islamic gatherings, including two addresses in Saudi Arabia after the Gulf War, where he condemned Islamic jihad. In the United States, he delivered a historic address at the Pentagon on the fundamentals of the Islamic faith to military chaplains and other personnel in the interest of increased opportunities for Muslim chaplains in the American military. The very next day, on February 6, 1992, he became the first Muslim representative to deliver an invocation on the floor of the United States Senate. The following month, in the state of Georgia, the state of his father's birth, he delivered to a standing ovation of elected officials the first address of a Muslim leader on the floor of the Georgia State Legislature. As part of the inauguration activities for President Clinton on January 20th, 1993 in Washington, D.C., he was invited to participate as the representative for the Religion of Islam in the inaugural Interfaith Prayer Service. His famous and controversial father advocated separate states for blacks and whites before changing times softened his rhetoric. But our guest, Imam, believes reconciliation between the races is possible in America and has won praise for his emphasis on the teachings of brotherhood and unity with all races and religions. I sat next to Imam. I find him to be a most delightful, brilliant man, and we are pleased to host him at our podium today for what promises to be a fascinating discussion and universal values, how Muslims are to contribute to world peace. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in giving a most warm welcome to Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you. In the name of God, we trust God for the results of our efforts, that our efforts be pleasing to him. And we salute with the traditional salute the last prophet with the prayers and peace upon him and what follows. It is indeed one of the most special occasions for me during my leadership representing the Muslims of America to have the opportunity to make this address at this luncheon given by World Affairs Council on this significant day, December the 7th. I'm asked to speak on how Islam can contribute to world peace. I believe that's a very easy topic for me, and if I would satisfy my own desire, I would speak too long and do a disservice to you on this occasion. I would speak too long on the very positive and wonderful thing that I find in our holy book and in the life of our prophet, prayers and peace be on him, that give us all the encouragement that we need and even more to serve world peace. President J. Curtis Mack, Vice President Miriam Marcus, and the chair, I would like to say thank you for this very special opportunity. Honorable gathering, in which I've been made aware that the representative of the Royal Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Excellency, the Ambassador Nazir, present here, and this is also a great, makes this occasion very special for us here. Both Christianity and Islam were severely persecuted when introduced into the area of their birth or nativity. Islam survived the first wave of persecution, and a model society for Muslims was established in Medina after wars, persecution, and wars to defend the mission and the Muslims. That model government is remembered by all Muslims, especially by the scholars of Islam. Most of the scholars of Islam that I have occasion to know and speak with regarding the character of Islamic society and the character of Islamic rule or government, they all point to the government established by the Prophet as a model for us. That government mandated that Jews would have the right to practice their religion just as they had practiced it before the establishment of the government by the Prophet in Medina. That government was a model government also, in that it did not deprive any of the citizens, whether they were Muslims or not, of the right to a good life and a prosperous life. We know that trouble developed later, and that good relationship with the Jews of Medina ended, and I'm not here to explain what happened to cause trouble for the relationship that we all admire and want for ourselves presently with the Jewish people, but I'm only pointing to the attitude that we should have as Muslims, and that is that we should recognize the Jewish faith as a legitimate faith, a legitimate religion, as a religion that has as its founder the prophets, the great prophets, and as the inspiration behind it, the same God that we acknowledge, the God of the heavens and the earth. Also, we have Spain. Not that we like everything that developed in the history of Spain for the Muslims and our relationship with the outer world, or with the other world people, that is Christian and others, but that was what we point to as a time for peace and good relationship with Jewish people and also with the Christians for a time. That was lost, but we are happy to point to that time, 300, 400 centuries of peace for the religions, for the two great religions, and I would say for the three great religions. We believe that Islam promotes world peace, and that the elements for bringing about faith and guidance in us for peaceful coexistence with other religions and other societies is inherent in Islam. It is believed that we are leaving behind us now, to be buried forever, the religious corruption and savage behavior which we charge to the Crusades, the centuries of conflict for the what they say symbolically, the crescent and the cross. We hope that we are leaving behind us that poisonous propaganda that came out of that time period and the conflict for the Christian and Muslim communities of the world. We believe that this time that we are enjoying now for better relations with Christians and Jews and the intelligent, civilized people of the world is the best time, and I'm quoting a rabbi who was introducing himself at a dialogue that we had recently. He said that this time is the best time ever for the great religions, Muslims, Jews, and Christians. And I add, this is the best time ever for getting together to serve world peace throughout the world. Islam does more than just tolerate religious and cultural diversity. Islam promotes in its believers a sound regard for the religions and cultures of the world. Dr. Hamouda El Ati, spelled H-A-M-M-U-D-A-H, the last name is spelled A-B-D-U-L-A-T-I. In his book, Islam in Focus, writes, and I quote him, "Under the political system of Islam, every citizen is entitled to enjoy freedom of thought and expression. But, he cautions, freedom is not an invitation to chaos and anarchy. Islam promotes private ownership." I'm continuing now to present what I see as developments for Islam and in Islam that serve to relieve any suspicion that we might have that Islam is not a religion that can make contribution to world peace. Islam promotes private ownership. Islam promotes the rights of all people to compete for shares in all resources. All the natural resources are in all resources. Islam promotes the development of one's potential to the fullest capacity, or to the fullest extent, according to one's honest judgment. That is, as long as one is well-meaning, the person, the individual is well-meaning, and it's a person of good conscience, or good conscience, having good intentions, then Islam is to permit that person full freedom to develop in the society as much as that person can develop. And we are to assist that person, not to just permit the person the freedom, but to give assistance to that person, whether that person be a Muslim member of that society, of our society or not. It can be a non-Muslim. We are to give that same right to every citizen, to their religion, their race, or their nationality. Every citizen is to enjoy with Muslims citizenship, quality citizenship, first-class citizenship. A real Muslim society, knowing its religion, would not allow that citizens be treated differently, having some that are not Muslims as second-class citizens and reserving first-class citizenship only for Muslims. We couldn't accept that and tolerate that in light of what our religion says in its number one authority in the Quran and the second authority for Muslims, the life of the Prophet himself, prayers and peace be on him. What is Islam? I think to tell you at this particular time what the Prophet has told us Islam is also will serve to relieve any fears that this religion is a religion that the world can welcome and give place to for the purpose of promoting or serving peace in the world. The Prophet, when asked the question, he answered, it is to believe in God, to believe in his angels, to believe in revelation, to believe in the prophets, or the prophets, that is to believe in prophets and the books that they brought, and to believe in life after death, to believe in the judgment day, believe in the ordinance of God, a law that works throughout the creation to reward and punish depending on the attitude toward creation. This is the belief of Muslims. And if any Muslim would recite the belief of Muslims and would not identify himself as a Muslim, I don't believe any member of the other religions, the great religions, would have any problem with those beliefs. They're the same. The beliefs are the same, essentially the same for us, whether we are Muslim or Christian or some other, or especially the people of the book, the people we call people of the book. Our beliefs are essentially the same. Where we differ, I believe, is in how we practice that religion, how we practice those beliefs, pardon me, how we practice those beliefs or apply those principles. So the Prophet also said that Islam is to believe in God, Islam is to give in charity, Islam is to pray and make prayers for God, to God, give worship to God. And Islam is to fast the month of Ramadan, the ninth month in the Islamic calendar. And Islam is to visit the house, that is to make Hajj or pilgrimage to the house. Now, as quickly as I can, I would like to say to you that to believe in God for us, to believe in God is also to believe in the unity of matter, the oneness of the system of the universe, and to believe in the unity of man, the oneness of the human family, and so on. This comes under the topic or the heading we call Tawheed, oneness or unity in Islam. To believe in his prophet is to believe that God communicates to man his will and purpose for man on this earth. To believe in God is also to worship God, to give our whole life in worship to God. That is, Muslims don't consider just the rituals as worship. We consider the service that we render that is useful in society. We consider all the service that we render that is useful to the society, to the Muslim society and to society at large, as worship. This we'll find in the many books that's written by our able scholars in Islam. Worship to us is being of service to mankind. That's worship to us, being of good service to mankind. And our religion, I believe, have so many references to our relationship with people at large or to mankind that it is impossible for us to be selfish in our religion, to work for selfish ends. We must work for the good of the global community. We are told, first of all, that our worship is the natural worship, the worship that's inherent in all people. And we are told that the house that we turn to as a symbol, giving us a center for our movements and activities, prayer, especially prayer and pilgrimage, that house was built for all people. God says, Buniya linnas. It was built for all people. And we are also told by the prophet himself, prayers and peace be on him, that the best of us is the one who best serves people and nas. People. And God says that we are khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. He says, you are excellent community, evolved or brought out of darkness, of ignorance and savagery, of corruption and blindness, for what? All people. For all people. So it is impossible for us to know our religion and then not make our life also a service for the global, a service in the global community and for the benefit and good of the global community. We have no such idea as absolute ownership in Islam. And I think this is another point for Islam, for the Muslim community, that would make us welcome in the society of the world. We do not recognize absolute ownership for any human being, any religion, any person. Absolute ownership is only God, for God. We say the earth belongs to God. We say the people belong to God. We say the destiny belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Our ownership is limited, has to be qualified, and our ownership is basically or essentially a trust and not a possession that we have. For we all will live and die, and we leave everything behind us, and none of us can know how our interest is going to be protected when we are dead. We only hope that it will be protected. Everything belongs to God. He is the only absolute owner of the resources and everything, including ourselves. This is how Muslims believe. If God now is the absolute owner of the earth and all of his resources and the destiny for man, then we must accept the right of all people in the benefits and in the resources. We also say that Muslims have no right in Islam to seek a dominance. And we know that the long period of wars that involved Muslim nations would suggest otherwise to us. We know that the great conquest for Islam would suggest otherwise to us. But that is not our reference when we are looking for the right behavior or the right position to take. The Quran is our reference. And God says in the Quran that he will never give authority or power or rule to anyone who seeks a dominance. to anyone who seeks a dominance. Females have rights in Islam, and I'm speaking very briefly on these particular points. There's much to be said. I suggest that you who are students are inquiring to know more about Islam, go to a good library and get some of the many books that are written in English now by scholars in Islam on human rights, the rights of females in Islam. Females have rights to equal education, and the Prophet, he promoted this interest in such a great way when he promised that if any man would educate two daughters, and that was at a time when women were looked upon as property, the property of the men, to be used for the men's pleasure, their rights weren't respected at all. It was almost a savage, in fact, it was a savage time, the time before the dawning of Islam on the continent, on the peninsula of Arabia. The Prophet said any man who would educate two daughters would be given as a reward paradise. Women are to compete in business and also in politics or in government. In fact, I don't see any real problem for the rights of women in Islam, not when Islam is correctly understood and the knowledge is available. I don't see any real problem for the rights of women. And I don't think that Pakistan would select a woman twice to be the head of the government if there was any serious problem for the rights of women. The daughter of Bhutto was selected once, and now she has been selected for the second time to be the president of Pakistan. So I think our fears are not well-founded. If we understand this religion of Islam, we will be removed, we'll have those fears removed from us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as normal, we'll take as many questions as we can from the audience. If you have a question and have not written it on a card yet, please do so. Raise your hand and a member of our staff will come by and we'll get to as many as we can. Imam Muhammad, the first question is, in the introduction it was said that you condemned Islamic jihad. Is that true, or did you condemn the exploitation of Islam and jihad? And please clarify the meaning of jihad.
Yes, thank you. Yes, the question was, do we condemn Islamic jihad is no. But condemn what is popularly seen as jihad? Yes.
Islam, jihad, something in struggle. Jihad is in struggle. And the best struggle is the struggle that we make to achieve what God wants.
To achieve the end that God wants on earth. And the end that God wants on earth is not that any people dominate another people, not that any people progress at the expense of others. So that jihad is the jihad that we accept. That is our jihad. the meaning of jihad, I think I've answered that part of the question. Do we want jihad? Yes. We must continue to struggle. We believe that life is a continuous struggle, and we have to be prepared always to struggle and sacrifice our all for the ends that God wants in our personal life and in society.
How does the Nation of Islam regard the traditional Sunni Shiite split controversy?
Yes, I think we are a little bit more tolerant of these divisions, and we don't tend to make
a lot of fuss over these divisions. We believe that these are developments that were not determined by our religion, but determined by the politics and the interaction, the sentiments, the feelings, and jealousies that developed between different parties in the history of Islam. We believe that most of it is to be charged to politics, desire for control, etc. Jealousy between brothers and sisters in Islam, jealousy between nations in Islam. We believe that eventually Shiite and Sunni will be no issue. We may not see it in our generation, may not see it in many generations, but one day we know that if we all stay believing in the Quran, firm believers in the Quran, in our religion, and followers of our Prophet, if we remain on that path, that eventually the issue for Shiaism and Sunni will be gone. We tend to not want to speak too much of ourselves as Sunni Muslims, but we believe that what the founder who conceived our Nation of Islam, our organization under the honorable Elijah Muhammad, we believe that what he did was just put something together, and his only real interest was to attract down and out blacks of America. That was his only real interest, to at least identify as Muslims and identify with Islam. We think that that was his, that's what he was really about. But we know that his idea of God and his idea of leadership in Islam resembles more Shiaism or Shiite teaching than it does the teaching of most Muslims who are Sunni, who are called Sunni. But we ourselves, we tend to be more comfortable identifying with those that are called Sunni and not those that are called Shiite. But I know this sounds like something we've heard before, but some of my best friends are Shiites.
Yes. What are the rights and responsibilities of the title Imam, and what are the steps necessary in your faith to achieve this position?
To achieve the position of Imam? Of Imam. Yes. In our religion, there is no real clergy, there's no priesthood, and really there's no real clergy in Islam. In our religion, the people are responsible. The people are responsible for selecting their leader or the Imam to lead them in the prayer based upon two qualifications. The first qualification is that he's a decent person, his character is good. And the second qualification is that he be above them in the knowledge of Islam. Above them. They think he's above them in the knowledge of Islam. However, the second qualification is not always the one that determines who will be the leader. But sometimes the people are more learned than their imam, but they think their imam has the best character and the best devotion to the religion, so they will select him to be their leader.
Why do you believe that increasing numbers of violent acts, such as the bombing of the World Trade Center, are done in the name of Islam?
Well, Islam is a big force. It's a very significant force. There are about 1 billion Muslims now, we're told. And Muslims represent nations that I think gives the global picture. The global picture, when we look at Africa, 50% of Africa Muslims. We look at the Middle East, the population there, Indonesia, that big country, by the way, that was not converted by the sword. They were attracted to the character of Islamic businessmen, and the character of Islamic businessmen was so impressive to them that eventually the whole country of Indonesia became Muslim. I hope we have that. I hope we can get that character in our Islamic businessmen again. Yes, and in Europe, Albania, and several other Muslim communities in Asia, we are now learning that there are a significant number of Muslims in communist China, and we know of the Muslims in Russia. So Muslims are around the world, all around the world, and these persons who are reacting to their bad situation, we have to sympathize with them, but not condone their un-Islamic behavior. When I say we have to sympathize with them, when you put a person in a situation that they're fighting desperately just to exist day by day, then you have to sympathize with those persons. And that's the situation that we have for some of the Palestinians who lost their homes and their homeland. That's the situation that we have in Kashmir for Muslims who are being denied their rights there and in many other places. So when Muslims register the hurt and suffering of Muslims all over the world, and when that Muslim that registered that hurt is also being denied his life day after day, then we can understand the desperate behavior of those individuals, but we cannot condone that kind of behavior. We have to condemn it and invite them to turn to their religion for support and for guidance and for peace.
Following that same line of thought that you see is common about the current situation in Bosnia, what you see is the future for Bosnia.
Yes. Well, I'm not all disappointed totally. I'm proud of the interest that I see in the West, and especially in America, to get support to the people of Bosnia. At first, I thought it was only a case of the Serbs persecuting the Muslims. But as more information came out, we began to see the picture as being not so simple. It's kind of complex. The picture is very difficult. It's a complex situation there, and political elements are there, and with religious interests. And I think that it's going to take time to work it out. I just hope that our government, President Bill Clinton, and our government leaders and American society will not forget Bosnia, and will do all that it can, all we can, to bring justice to that area.
Might religious strife be lessened if all governments were secular and none controlled by a particular religion?
Well, I can tell you this. There's no Muslim government controlled by Islam that I know of. I would be very comfortable with Muslim governments being under the control of Islam. Doesn't mean that I would accept a theocracy. I don't believe in a theocracy. I love this kind of democracy we have here. But I think that all the good Christians in America would always want us to be under God. It's in the Constitution of these United States, or at least the introduction to the Constitution, that we be under God. And I would think that we would always want religious conscience and religious interest to be respected. So I wouldn't like to answer that question with a yes or a no. I would just like to say we don't have religion yet where we want to see religion. Once we have it where we want to see it, all nations should be under God.
Questions have come forward regarding Salman Rushdie. Let me combine them into one. What is your personal opinion on the death sentence placed upon him? And also, would you please talk about your feelings regarding his visit with President Clinton recently?
Yes. Well, I thought that the death sentence on him was symbolic, though real for him, because there are Muslims who won't read it as symbolic, to create a certain effect and to send out a message, and that is that Muslims
love their religion very dearly, and we won't tolerate insults like he's guilty of. But according to our religion, anyone can differ with us in religion. Religion is not to be imposed upon anyone or forced upon anyone. God is too big for us to force people to serve him. The scriptures are too precious and too great for us to force those scriptures on anybody. So we are to tolerate people differently with us in religion. But I think we are to condemn anybody who makes such an attack upon sacred matters and sacred concerns and chief personalities in the religion. I'm not really offended only by his disrespect for Islam. I'm offended by his disrespect for the Queen of England. It seems that some of us will tolerate someone throwing dirt or filth on our enemy and us, as long as our enemy gets the worst part of it.
How does the Nation of Islam look upon Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Dr. Jeffries?
Well, we look upon them as leaders who play music to black folks. And and sometimes their music caused black people to do an indecent dance.
Please comment on the accuracy of the portrayal of your father in the film Malcolm X.
Yes, let me first say that I think that it was a good film when it comes to Hollywood. Hollywood film, good film. But accuracy, no. I saw a resemblance to my father. The actor did a very great job. I know him very well. I can't think of his name right now. Freeman, yes. Yes, he did a very good job of catching the humble posture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the seriousness of that of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But that's only a small part of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a humorous side, and he had a lively side. He had an aggressive side to him, and much of that was missing. So I just think a small facet of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was projected. And when it comes to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a teacher of Malcolm, then it didn't do credit to Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't only attract Malcolm to his mission, or to Malcolm's on mission. Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave Malcolm a lot of good education, a lot of good moral teaching, a lot of good wisdom, and I think much of that was missing in the film.
America comes from a tradition of Judeo-Christian ethic, and we seem to have a difficult time understanding how to handle situations in the Middle East with Islamic lands. What would you suggest to the government of the United States as to how to deal with Islamic nations?
Yes. I think the government of the United States is in much better situation now to deal with the heavy questions and issues that it has to deal with regarding the situation in the Middle East. But I would just say that the government needs to do more. I would say unbiased, unprejudiced inquiry or study into the life, nature, and life of the Muslim societies, not just in the Middle East, but the Muslim society. Get to know what motivates us, what turns our life on in our religion. what values hold up our life, know better the history of the people that they are dealing with directly. How did they come to be in that situation they're in? Were they always in that situation? No. The Muslims that I meet from the area tell me that at one time, before the World War II, they were enjoying good atmosphere for themselves with their neighbors, the Jews of that area. But not only that, I think we should now even accept to help the parties see better. I think if our government studies the life of the people there, that they will be able to make a contribution to even the solutions that those people may think are best for them. I'll be very plain. The Palestinian leadership, they may see solutions, and these solutions may not all be the right solution. The government of Israel also may be in the same situation. If our government leaders, who are not directly involved, sometimes outsiders, if they're sincere, they can make real contribution to a settlement, to a peaceful and acceptable settlement. So I think we should also be willing to put ourselves in that position to say that maybe if we understand them better, we can help them with their own solutions, not just listen to their solutions, but help them with their own solutions. I don't know if that's being done or not, but that's what I would advise.
Before Mrs. Glazer comes back to close the program, we're going to have time for this one last question. Again, it's an extension of some of your previous remarks. Please give specific examples of how Muslims can be of greater value to American society.
Yes, yes. Well, I've experienced it, so I can tell you. First thing you have to do is, whether you like America or not, accept that you're here and you're not going to another place. And I know you're not, because I don't see you making any plans to. So we're here. We're not going anywhere else. You have to regard the place that you are living in, and where you're having your children, and where you're going to leave your children, because all of us are going to die, and we're going to leave our children here. You have to regard that place as your place, no matter how bad it is. And to me, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's much more good than it is bad. But if you think it's not, you think it's more bad than it is good, still, you have to live here, and you have to regard this place as your own. That's the first step. Regard this place as your own, because you're here and you're going to leave your children here. Regard it as your own. Once you do that, then things happen for you psychologically to work out all the other problems.
Wallace Muhammad, thank you for your deeply felt message of peace and reconciliation.
Thank you, Diane Glazer. Thank you very much. This has been a special honor.
Especially for me. But the World Affairs Council wants you to remember that you were here.
Thank you. I will never forget it.
Well, we want to give you... This is a book. I'll tell you what it's about. It's a bird's eye view of Los Angeles. You are going to leave here, but these people... they're in this place, as you said.
Yes.
And I want you to remember them, too, and to remember us.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you so very much.
Mm-hmm. The meeting is adjourned.
All right, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum. We pray you enjoyed that, not only enjoyed it, but really took it in. Imam, the questions that were asked and how relative those questions are to today, and how Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, rahimahullahu alayh, treaded the waters, relationships, maintaining the relationships. He was very keen on keeping the relationships of the human family, and that is very key to everything that we do. As far as CWSC, we thank you for being here, and we want to make, oh, yes, going to go to 917-856. Jamal Din Belair, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you.
Yes, that was an excellent presentation. Whoever thought of it, they get 5 stars, and the everyone else get 4 stars. That was a beautiful presentation. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. Praise be to Allah. I won't be selfish and say, you know, I just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance to play that today. But thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum. And we go to 914-434, the brother Muhammad Sharif, and I pray that Sharif is close by as well. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. And you probably are trying to beat your phone up to get off of mute.
Thank you for the reminder. I was on mute. Yes, yeah, Sharif is on another phone in another room, but she listened to the MC360. She just heard that broadcast.
Alhamdulillah.
I have a request, and that is, how did you happen to find that? That's like a, what you call a rare recording.
Isn't it?
How did you happen to
find? As I answered Jamal, just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding me to it. I was surfing through the YouTube earlier, and I saw it on YouTube, and I said, wow, I wonder if we have it already on the studio board. And sure enough, we do. We did. We've just been surfing past it, or perhaps it's an earlier year presentation. But how relevant it is right now.
Yeah, that was ma'am speaking to an international audience there. It's like when the man went to the Vatican, speak to the planet from the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as God mostly said, that's not the way the man speaks. He just spoke to an international audience there, and I mean, people, I guess my request would be play it as often as you can. So get all the hosts. This is my personal thought. Have all the hosts to play that recording at every opportunity they get until everybody has heard it. So they will have to see, please don't play it anymore. We heard it already. Don't play it. We heard it already. Play it to everybody here, the Sister Masa.
I hear you, and you know, that I say it's relevant because it is right. When I mention relationship, and I'm sure many understand what I'm saying, when I mention relationship, it's not just the relationship between the male, female, and I'm sure you understand that. But what the imam was doing was planting a course for the relationship of humanity, for us to really, truly relate to one another. And he gave an avenue by which we can see our way to the peace. So a remake of the world here for CWSC's vision is exactly saying to that peace is what they were referencing there, the innocence and the connection that needs to be made. But you first have to uncover certain things. And those are some of the strategies that we have to take on. And God willing, with everyone's help, whatever is missed by the CWSC Board of Directors or the Intelligentsia Directors, whatever, and the advisors and assistants, whatever is missed, then others will be able to contribute as well. So, inshallah, that's where we are, and the promotion of the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning is the overall means by which we're going into the other strategies. Reaching for other strategies, I should say. So thank you. And that is one strategy there that you just mentioned, is to have it aired on AM 360 as often as possible.
Alhamdulillah.
And we share with other mediums now that we're making the connections there as well, so that it'll be broader. And discussions, we will interface discussions with the relationships that we have in our local areas, so that it becomes like a household conversation. Like Imam say, some of my best friends are Shiites, right? So alhamdulillah.
That's right. Thank you, my sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, my brother. All right, dear listeners, we're going to, and I know Sharifa loves thankful, as well as all of us, right? We've got to be thankful. And the Imam, we don't want to take it for granted what he shared at the end, that we have to see where we are, where we're living, even in our own humble abode, where we're living, we have to appreciate it, is what I'm going to say. Appreciate where we are. Appreciate first the body that we're in, and then appreciate the humble abode that we're living in, that we've strived hard to make livable for ourselves. And even if we're homeless, appreciate the world, the openness that Almighty God, see the beauty, see the good, and continue to pray to the Creator for a better adjustment in our lives. But definitely appreciate where we are, and then appreciation in our minds, but show it through our actions, through our connection with others. Again, going back to, I'm going to drive home relationships, relationships, relationships. And you'll be hearing more, inshallah, from others too, who, and one in particular, but you know who he is. And we look forward to the sharing, the openness, open us up and allow the conversation to be had so that we can better relate to one another and not be bogged down by the everyday frailty that's occurring. They're present, but we don't want to be bogged down by it and miss the opportunity before we leave this planet to definitely develop and leave something that others can build upon, God willing. So we want to be thankful. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Early in the morning, sail and prayer. Devil's press proof coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I'm gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
a little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you
Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be all right. You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright.
Gotta be right.
They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
All right, we know the rest of it. All the things he's given us to make our life, right? Join us tonight, 7 p.m., if you can. That's 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Community Developmental Stages and CWSC Community Buzz. And the question is, have you heard? Assalamu alaikum. Please enjoy.